putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Extraordinary. I feel as though I've gone through the wardrobe myself from that particular perspective. Cameron, as a Canadian, yeah, who's obviously lived in Peterborough and is now based in Nashville, do you have any kind of views on the C.S. Lewis Narnia series, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and obviously Prince Caspian and all that malarkey?
To be perfectly honest, I've never read it, never seen the movie, so I really...
But what better way to actually go and see the stage show, get into that jet, fly across the ocean, and check out the team in The Christmas Show. Not a pantomime, it's The Christmas Show at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. You would get the chance to actually see Emily Holt as Susan Pevensey, and indeed Chris Greenhall as Edward?
Peter.
Yes. Very interesting. And, of course, yes, Edward is portrayed by Thomas Baines. Exactly. So there we are.
Yeah, see, if you were doing Spamalot, I would be there in a split second.
Spamalot, that's the way forward. You know, that's a critical thing. And I'm sure we'll actually take that in every sense of the way. Anyway, moving on, I think it's fair to say that Ross Ironfield has not necessarily briefed these fine folk. Oh, he has, actually, to a certain extent. He said, get over there.
That's
Ross. That's why we like him. That's appropriate. He says it like it is, really. So, you know, you don't want to go into a textual analysis of the show and kind of deconstruct the whole thing. You're here, and that's the critical thing. This is the part of the program where Cameron joins us from Nashville, where he runs Maple Star Music and Media, and he's about to actually unveil another top Nashville tune to us, which actually this week is a cover version, which was done by Free. But Free were a band that existed before you were all born, people. It's a bit different line from that point of view. It's not All Right Now, but it's something completely different, isn't it, Cameron?
It is. And after the song, we've got an announcement that our listeners are going to be the first.
You see, these are the kind of exciting things that, you know, week by week, you know, Cameron actually just, he ratchets up the level so much. It's just wondrous. It's just a wondrous thing to behold.
Try.
Yeah, exactly. It's very good.
This band we're going to hear, I've been talking to the guy that fronts the band for a few months now, and they've been kind of going through the recording process, and I went to see them on Sunday night, and they were showcasing some of their new material. If you're a Southern rock fan, you're really going to love these guys. What they're doing is their first EP that comes out, it's going to be a 9-song EP, and it's going to feature, it's all covers, because Todd said, what we want to do is stake our claim and say, this is the kind of music we're doing. And then the next CD that they do will have originals on it. But they really want to stake their claim on the kind of music they're doing, and I think everybody's going to love it. This is a band called Todd Foley and Black Horse. It's taking kind of the best of British rock and combining it with a Southern rock sound. And so as you can kind of imagine, Free meets Allman Brothers, you're going to have a good time with this one. This is Todd Foley and Black Horse and Wishing Well on Siren FM.
This is the bit for the air guitar, Ed, by the way. And air drums. Thank you. As I said, I think it would be ideal to actually have as Aslan kind of, you know, goes through the whole process in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. What did you make of the Wishing Well with Todd Foley and Black Horse? Chris?
I enjoyed it. It was a good tune, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I see you wearing the leather jacket as well, just in you know, appreciating, obviously, you know, Cameron's sort of input in terms of this. So, yeah, I'm going to go there. All right. I might not be on the original list of guests, but I'll bring my leather jacket along. You never know. And from the very precise world of Susan Pevensey's alter ego, Emily Holt. In fact, I have to say, you ideal casting.
You
know, really,
oh,
I think that's
great.
Thank you. I haven't even seen the players yet, you know, obviously. But Emily, what did you make of Wishing Well?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I love the guitar. Really
guitar's
nice.
Good. Over to young Edmund, a.k.a. Thomas Baines.
Hi. Yeah, I really liked it. And nothing says music to me than, you know, air guitaring it up. So
nothing says more music than air guitar. And which key was it in, Ed?
A minor.
Nice
strong hook, and quite cool, nearly as cool as Chris, who's wearing two pairs of headphones.
One is just not enough to actually take a Cameron Tilbury tune from MapleStar Music and Media. You need double the sets of headphones to work through that. And your own thoughts, Ed? I mean, you're probably just like, I mean, just about young enough to remember the original by Free, perhaps.
That means nothing to me.
Really? Is that so? He's lying again. Anyway, what did you make of it?
Oh, me?
Yes.
I said, yes, good. It was as cool as Chris. Yeah. And I stand by that.
And what sayeth thou, Cameron Tilbury, all the way over there in Nashville?
Okay, we have kind of an announcement to make here.
Oh, you see, I thought it'd be taken by the two sets of headphones, but you know, no, not even a guy wearing two sets of headphones to listen to the whole thing can actually beat the announcement. Do you want a special fanfare for this, Cameron? Would you like to actually have the full sort of treat on this whole thing? Is that what you're looking for?
I feel then if I have the fanfare, then anything that would follow that could be, you know, underwhelming.
So you don't want to build it up. It's very good, managing expectations. That's very good. We
exactly.
Need to
it's
work
an
on
old
that.
Advertising thing. Under promise, over deliver. What we're excited to announce is, you know, we've been doing this live from Nashville segment with Siren for a few years now, and it's going so well that it's making the jump to television as well on December 1st. We're going to be on Sky Channel 191 and Freesat 400, 11 a.m. every Sunday morning, as part of the Smith & Rogers Country Show that's going to be on there. And so we're going to have a little segment in there called Live from Nashville. We're going to have interviews with artists, take people kind of around, hopefully some backstage kind of things here in Nashville. Upcoming interviews, the very first one's going to be Big Kenny from Big and Rich. We'll have Lynn Anderson. We'll have an artist that we featured here numerous times, Jessica Ridley, will be on. We went to the CMA International reception last week and did some interviews there with some great acts, and that'll be coming up around Christmas time.
I am already brimming over with excitement, but I need to ask one question, because I know Phil Leonis has just actually sent in a Facebook say that he's chilling out, listening to the show in a place of America that I didn't even realise existed. He's actually based in Turlock, the dual Stanislaus County. Well, is that some sort of made-up name? I don't know. You may know, being over there, Cameron. But anyway, the excitement thing is, we got a little mention for the Midweek Drive and Siren 107.3 FM in the joys of Sky and Freesat 400 and Sky Channel 191.
That's right, because everything kind of started with you guys, so it just, you know.
I think that deserves a round of applause, yes. We might take the news from Sky, now we're providing the content for Sky. There you go. In a small way, but it's going to expand. Brilliant stuff there.
So,
and as I did say...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
As I said when we spoke earlier, obviously Ed Wellman and myself are available to do voiceovers and interviews and artists, etc. Ed, the perfect character to actually sort of get the key of, you know, she's marvellous. That would work for you. Now, like we said, I don't, you know, sort of look after the whole thing. Cameron, it's been a blast as ever. Time is moving on. We need to sort of progress, but I can promise the listener, next week, an expanded Cameron Tilbury Midweek Drive feature. Not just one, but two shows. So excited am I by that, and so is Ed, that we're going to be making our way to London at the same time. It's amazing how we'll be doing it, but it will happen. Ed, last two questions for Cameron, please.
Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
I certainly have.
And it's been more than that for us. Congratulations. Good luck, and can we look forward to connecting with you? Don't forget us, will you, next time?
No.
Emily Holt's already having to sort of have, you know, a whole scenario. Talking about fanfare, there's always a reason for playing. Thank you. Emerson Lake and Palmer's Fanfare for the Common Man. Not that there's anything common in any way, shape or form about the Pevensey children, of course, because The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe from Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I know.
It's all right. Tristan Decaphobia, The Fear of the 13.
Oh,
don't worry, it's okay. To Tuesday, 24th of December, Christmas Eve. So then you go off and actually be Santa Claus, presumably, and deliver presents and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Adapted for the stage by Adrian Mitchell. Music by Sean Davey. We've followed this through from the original rehearsals, the original auditions. How did you feel when you got the role as Edmund, first of all? Tell us, what was your sort of feeling on this?
Well, I think I was shocked to start with, because I thought, I was thinking maybe I'd go for Peter or something. But, I was shocked. And then obviously having read the book and then watching the film again, I did suddenly realise that I did have a lot to do. Yeah. And then it would be quite exciting. And
remember, in the world of the business of show, even if you've got one line, as long as you make that line important.
Well, yes, this is true, yeah.
You know, it's all part of the whole team setup, etc. It's very important. And from your own point of view, Emily, you know, as Susan, what was your sort of feeling? Did you always think, yes, I've got it, finally, success?
I was really happy, yeah. It was the one role that I really wanted. I did. The other role was the witch, but I couldn't really see myself.
Well, I don't know.
My face is too round.
Oh.
So, I don't have harsh enough cheekbones.
No, you never don't go by what, you know, Kate Blanchard actually sort of got involved with. You know what I mean? It's a different line of time.
Yeah, but no, I was really, really happy, and I've enjoyed every minute, even if she is a little bit timid.
Well, of course. I don't know. I see her as more intellectual than timid.
She is.
I see her as somebody who reflects on the whole process.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
she's
very reliable.
Headstrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Lucy, on the other hand, yeah, it's like Lucy in Dracula. Loose morals goes off with anyway. It goes through the window.
Yeah.
Precisely. And don't get me started when it comes to Turkish Delight, Edmund, please, because, you know. I'm sorry, Edmund. But anyway, over to Peter, who, of course, wouldn't be a sucker for Turkish Delight in any way, shape or form.
No,
as long as you've got your sword to hand, that's very important. Your own feelings?
Yeah, I was ecstatic when I found out. I'd like to... When I auditioned, like, all sorts of roles in the piece, and the roles of Grumpskin...
Beavers?
Yes, yeah,
Beavers. I'm still recovering from the shock of Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are actually played by... two females.
Yeah, I know.
And extraordinary. Never let me say the RSC and the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre don't push out those boats when it comes to beaver casting. Yeah, very good.
They've got fantastic roles. They're like Beavers, and there's Garrett the Grumpskin and
Mr. Tumnus.
They're all roles that really require some real characterisation.
Yeah,
and prosthetic makeup, presumably.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Is it shorts?
Crazy costume.
Do you wear shorts, guys? Are you
I'm wearing shorts.
You're shorts.
Yeah. Shorts and the really, really big socks. So,
yeah.
I'm wearing a tie.
Well,
there
we are. Yeah. And just the one tie or two ties?
Just the one tie.
Just the one tie. We're going to find out more about The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe as the show proceeds. Again, if you're looking to get involved with it, it is available to book tickets now for a mere £10 for a family ticket for Red and Gold performances. It's, as we mentioned, the 13th to 24th of December. But coming up, we have a gentleman who's actually been in the business of show business, for 64 years. 64 years! Cool. He's been a band leader who's been inspired by the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band. He's formed his first Barber New Orleans Jazz Band in 1949 at the age of 19, and he's evolved over the years into the Big Chris Barber Band. We'll be speaking with Chris Barber next after the Chris Barber Jazz Band and the golden mix of Bugle Boy March. Absolutely splendid there, the Bugle Boy March with the Chris Barber Band, and woo, lo and behold, if all our connections and dreams come true, toe-tappingly wonderful, Chris Barber is actually with us online now. Are you there, Chris?
I am, yes, indeed.
yes.
Oh, fantastic stuff. So it's an interesting connection we've got to, because I know when we first spoke on another station, our sister service, Southside Broadcasting, we were saying there about 64 years in the business of show. Fantastic. Yeah. We've got four fine folk in the studio today, kind of at the beginning of their show business careers. So we have cheerleader extraordinaire and the wondrous soul who actually is Holly Cox. How are you, Holly?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
There we are, exactly. Also graduate of the Lincoln Performing Arts course and from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre's Christmas show. Three fine folk who are coming to the end of their degree programmes, but they are currently involved with The Lion, The Witch and The Wardrobe. We have Emily Holt, we have Thomas Baines, and we have Chris Greenhall as well.
Hello.
From that point of view.
Hi.
So, I think it's fair to say, what did we make, guys, of the music of New Orleans brought to us by Chris Barber?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Loved it.
Emily.
Absolutely loved it. It's my kind of thing.
Absolutely loved it.
I think I'm, like, in the dark about it, but I think I'm a bit of a sucker for jazz. So,
a sucker for jazz.
And
Holly, you came in and joined us as the music was coming through.
I do love jazz.
Exactly. So I think it's fair to say it's a unanimous line here, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Exactly. But I mean, as somebody, I mean, what is the secret to, you know, 64 years as a band leader in show business? Is it just because you produce quality stuff?
I've no idea. Listen, if I knew what secret was, I could sell it, couldn't I?
Well, there is that, of course.
I don't know. I mean, I just try and do things, get things right, and you know, be fair and sort of, you know, and encourage people and that sort of thing, and that's about it. And I've been lucky. I think really nice people, good players who met up and formed the band in the first place, you see, and gradually developed. Of course, none of the first lot left now, I'm sad to say. But, you know, we're just doing what we felt was right and the best we could. And that's about it. We're dead lucky in a sense that particularly just about 1954-55, the band began to get very popular. And suddenly it was an enormous, it was a boom. It was just as strong relative to what had been there the previous year as the Beatles in the 60s were at their time. We couldn't go anywhere without getting a full house for several years, I can tell you. And which is very encouraging, of course. It's easy, of course, to get the fans to get the idea that you somehow earn getting it all the time. doesn't always happen, though.
Now, we got hold of a copy of, obviously, some of the golden greats that you've actually brought to bear with us on the whole thing. And clearly you'll be performing many of these at the Darlington Civic Theatre in... Actually, it's this Monday. Good heavens. Monday
might,
the 18th
we
of November.
We might very well. I mean, we have learned a few more tunes since then, mind you.
Well, I would have thought so. But we're going to open it up for questions with the team in a few moments. But do you think, would you mind, Chris, if we actually invited you to introduce Petite Fleur, the Golden Mix, which we actually have lined up now, which I think, again, has got a lovely, interesting routine on sort of, again, the essence of music here.
Well, it's very interesting. I can tell you a story. See, now, back in those days, we were making records, you see, and we were going to a recording studio in London, quite near the old BBC building. And they were making 10-inch LPs. They thought 12-inch LPs were a bit expensive, people then. They brought a smaller one out, 10-inch, which only had 16-inch on it.
I'll just say, Chris, for the benefit of our youngsters, LPs were vinyl.
So the point is that anyway, we recorded several already, which were doing very well, my idea was that on each of these records, the vinyl records, which we took, each one had I think it was 6 or 8 tunes, we had one of the guys in the band. I thought we'd actually have a chance and do a solo piece on each on one of the records. So each record in turn, a different member of the band play one piece like entirely on his own, or basically on his own. And so we'd done a few of those already. And I went to China, played Monty Sunshine, and said, "Listen, Monty, it's your turn." You see, I said, "What solo are you going to play?" He said, "I don't know any." So we said, "Well, have you got any on some records at home?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "So I'll go home tonight and I'll find one and I'll learn it." So he went home and he got this record. He had this record. We quite liked it, the record. And he realised there's a tune there. He'd like to try and play it.
So he did play it. He came back the next day to do it. So here's the tune. It was written by this old American guy from New Orleans called Sidney Bechet. He recorded it actually with a French jazz band. It was a few years before that, right, we were there. And he said it's called Petite Fleur, which means little flower. Actually, the story behind it, I tell him Petite Fleur, is a little rude, so I won't mention it right now.
Well, ever the professional, Chris. Do you want to go there? Not this time of the evening. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but the thing is that... so he started playing it, and we didn't know... He didn't know much music, Monty. He didn't read music, really, and he learned it by ear, and playing it nice. That sounded like a nice tune. We thought we all sort of tried to join in with him, trying to find out what key it was in. But in a very difficult. Do any of you have you people there read music at all?
Ed, I think you read music.
Yes, I do read music.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, you see, Monty Sunshine played a clarinet. He played a simple system clarinet, which of course is almost like a recorder, not quite. And which is pitched in B flat naturally, and he started playing this tune in B natural, A flat minor.
Unbelievable!
And that was very difficult because we did find the notes in the end. I mean, we all could read music, but Monty couldn't. He'd done it by ear, you see. Yeah. So we learned it often and got the off and so on and so forth. I've only found out some years later. I said, Monty, why did you learn that in that key? You know, in that difficult key. You see, I said, Sidney Bechet always said he played it in B flat. You see, and he said, oh, well, my record player played fast.
Yeah, then that's the trouble. 33 and a third, 44th. Yeah. Not only
his vinyl was going around not at 33 and a third, but about 35 or something.
And
it?
Let's give a little bit of historical fact here. You got a gold disc for Petite Fleur. It made it to number 3. It sold over 1 million copies in the UK singles charts. Yes. It also got to number 5 in the United States charts. I think we should hear it. What do you say?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I just thought that was magical. What did you make, Ed?
Magical A flat minor.
Magical
G sharp minor.
A flat minor.
A flat minor. A flat minor. Magical, definitely. Yeah. Not many kind of players' choice of a key to freely improvise in.
Right. No. Absolutely.
Oh, exactly. Holly, what did you make of Petite Fleur?
It was nice. It sounds very. We were having a discussion about how it sounds very film-like. Oh. Something you maybe could walk down the street to. I imagine like black and white and a lady walking down the street or something.
Sophisticated,
very sophisticated.
Yourself, obviously, or indeed Emily. Yeah. You know, she sort of grows up.
It's about us two, probably.
Yeah. Well, I hope Phil Linus is writing this one down.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Questions for Chris Barber, please, Emily. We'll move on. Holly, anything from yourself?
What is your favourite jazz piece, seeing as you are a very...
I'm afraid the sort of thing...
Maybe at the moment, then.
The thing I always... I always say, well, the one I'm playing at the moment at any given time has to be, really, and I enjoy them all.
Yeah.
I mean, we only... In our repertoire, we only keep in the ones that we actually do like. there are some we found, you know, variously boring or difficult or whatever, annoying or something, you know, so we don't play those. So we can get away with it when we actually do at the time we're playing, and we really feel like that is the perfect thing to be doing. You know?
Do you have a piece that you always play?
Yeah, one or two. I mean, there's some we play pretty regularly. See, we for many years from the very beginning we start off a performance with a New Orleans Street Parade number called the Bourbon Street Parade, which is a nice 32-bar. March thing in the key of F, which we play as our first number every night going on stage. So we just start playing before we say anything, see? That's our theme song. But, it was written by a great old New Orleans drummer who was a friend of ours. We met him in New Orleans ourselves and played with him a few times. He died long ago now, Paul Barberin. And that's it, Bourbon Street. Bourbon Street is the happens to be the central street of the French Quarter of New Orleans, which is the scene of where jazz really began, more or less by accident, I think.
Chris, I'm just looking at the sort of backstory of yourself here, and just looking at the sort of people you've worked with alone. Fantastic. I mean, Alexis Korner, John Mayall, Peter Green, Eric Clapton, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Rhythm and blues powered the British invasion of the United States charts in the 1960s.
Pretty much
a significant part of that whole sort of system, and a wonderful example of really the sort of American British influence, and really almost repackaging the music back and selling it to the United States and saying this is even more wonderful.
I think the funny thing is that in America, the way show business, not in the sort of Broadway sort of sense, but you know, ordinary people going to see music and so on, there was no way that young, not to be racial about it, but it's a fact, the young white kids would have gone to black clubs where the blues people played. Mm. They heard it in distance. Now, I mean, Elvis Presley said he learned how to sing gospel from standing outside black churches. Yeah. And that could still be that true now. But that music comes from those people, the African-American people. It's something they brought, not from Africa with them, but they created it, really, by being in America, which is funny, well, extraordinary, when you realize that most of them didn't really want to be there in the first place, and yet they created something so amazing which became so important in the world. Mm. And that's about what it is, you know. But we felt that that is the real inspiration in the whole modern music. Basically, people who sang like Ray Charles and that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone knows about it nowadays, but they didn't know it when we started out. And so we started saying, we've got to get that stuff into it. And we found a way to bring some of them into Britain and play with them. Performed with them on stage, including Muddy Waters, who I knew very well. I mean, he toured with us in 1958, yeah. And who inspired the Rolling Stones, among others.
Absolutely. Ed.
Chris, do you think that some of the skills that are evident in jazz music, particularly improvisation, are perhaps a bit under-taught in terms of youngsters and their own musical education? Because it's very much based on learning what's on the page, isn't it? And only a few very experienced musicians perhaps get
with it. I mean, a lot of younger people, I mean, you don't need that experience, right? I mean, really. But you have to have if you fall for how the music is, you'll be able to play it. Mm. If you don't fall for it, you won't be able to play it. It's hard to explain more than that because the way it's done, it's kind of playing something which is quite almost like routine, and yet you play it, you don't play it the same every time. If you're playing with other people, you're all eagerly listening out for what they're doing, so you can play with them, and everyone doing that at the same time.
Much like one of these radio shows in many ways, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Passing the ball around. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Any other quick questions you got? Yes.
What makes jazz stand out to you from the rest of the music genres?
Well, it feels different, really. I suppose. I mean, it's how it's done. It's expression of your own or my own or any other player's own feeling or about the thing what they're playing having ideas. You know, classical music used to have improvisation because there was a time many years ago when if there was a cadenza in a concerto, the soloist was expected to produce their own cadenza.
Why not, indeed?
He would make it up on the spot. Beethoven didn't like that. He didn't fancy this.
He was German, Chris. What can we expect? He wanted precision, you know. It's bad, of course.
No, I'm not sure of that, but I think he found they were as good as his versions. So he said, right, from now on, you're going to play my version. We don't do that.
the big Chris Barber Bond is performing at Darlington Civic Theatre, so you need to move a little bit further north to actually go and check it out. Monday, 18th of November, 7:30 p.m. Hopefully you'll be coming to Lincoln before too long as well, Chris, so we'll definitely work on that.
I've seen a booking for next year, I think.
This is what we'd like to see. So, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us again today?
Thank you. Very good indeed.
And can we look forward to joining up with you again and keeping it? Oh, I think we need a regular feature from Chris Barber here.
Very good.
Will you return, Chris?
Well, I don't know when we get the chance.
I think we'll feature you again before. A round of applause for Chris Barber, please. Thank you. Coming up, we have the news at 5:45, but take us around to that. Why not the Chris Barber Jazz Band
Thank you,
and Bobby Shafter. Bye-bye, Chris.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye.